Welcome to the 53rd episode of the Parents Initiative podcast. This is your host, Leo Colon, and I have our co-host, Rebecca, with us.
Hey, 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 everyone.
We want to congratulate you for taking the time to listen because you're saying that parenting is important to you and you want to do what you can to be the parent that God has called you to be, and you're putting forth that effort. And just listen to this podcast, if anything, we'll give you some insights, some tips, some encouragement, or maybe some awareness. Yeah. So what we're going to hit on today is caught more than taught. Let me say that again, is caught more than taught. Now, me and Rebecca were having a conversation the other day, and I've been sharing with her this book that I've been reading, kind of hit on it the last podcast, and we're going to hit on it this podcast as well. And just hitting on different things. And then she just made that statement along those lines. And I said, that's good. And I said, that needs to be our next episode. Just something that we can encourage you guys with. Once again, it's caught more than taught. Now, we all know that saying, action speaks louder than words. So you think about it, when you say it's caught more than taught, it's like, listen, you could teach something to someone all day long, all right? And a lot of times they may not get it. But when they actually experience it or go through it, they're more likely to catch it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Do you have anything you want to say on top of that?
You know, you began to look at your children and some of the things that you might be facing right now in your very home. You see come out of your kids, whether it's good or bad. Isn't it like throwing up a mirror towards yourself? You begin to recognize, wow, how do I get onto them? They're doing exactly what I do. They're responding the same exact way that I respond. So how do you combat that? And this is some of the things that I have personally been doing. When I notice something, let's say, not so positive coming from one of our kids, you know what? Let's work on this together. You know, highlighting the part that, you know, mom shouldn't really react this way, and, you know, neither should you. And sometimes you do need to apologize. You know, it's going to bring you to a place of humility a little bit, you know, but you're showing your child, one, I'm not always going to be right as a human, as a spouse, as a mom, as a dad, as a coworker, as an employee, as a boss. I'm not going to always be right. However, I can admit my shortcomings, course correct, make a shift in my mind and my attitude, and move forward. I can learn right here in this moment and create growth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking about what we're going to be talking about. You know, we were student pastors for several years, and I can't tell you how many times I preached a message on sex, or I preached a message on self-control, or I preached a message on all these other different topics.
Yep.
And, you know, some people just needed to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I remember people coming up afterwards, after they experienced a hard time, saying, I wish I would have listened to you.
Yeah.
You know, and some things are just, they're just better caught than taught.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I did want to share with you today is, you know, being aware of your children and where they're at in their life. You know, if you've been listening to this podcast at all, we do talk about sex sometimes because sex is important. It's an amazing gift from God. And our kids need to know about it. They need to know the truth of God's word about it, that it's not dirty, that it's not horrible, that it is not, it's a gift. It's a gift from the Lord, a wedding present to a married couple. And so we walk our children through the book series called God's Design for Sex. And yes, this is an amazing resource, and it starts at the age of 3 years old. We can put the links in the show notes.
Yes.
For how to get off four, how the four-part series starting at the age of three to five, 5 to 8, 8 to 11, 11 to 14. And so here recently, Marcella and I are going through the third book, what's called What's the Big Deal? And it was quite funny because it's all about periods is what we're talking about, menstrual cycle, changing of your body. And I remember walking Zane through this book and us going through this very chapter, and you were like, really, you talked to your son about this? And I'm like, yes, because one, he has a sister. Two, he has a mother. Three, one day he's going to have a wife. And your kids need to know about these things. So one thing I have learned is that curiosity can be extremely dangerous, and I'd rather give them the information from myself than them try to go find it without me and find miscommunication, the wrong kind of information, sometimes dangerous information, or stumble into a place where they should not be. So I love that when we begin to talk about these things, I always have shown them, like, okay, well, this is a pad and this is a tampon and this is how, these are the functionalities of these things. And so with Zane, I did not do this, but with Marcella, I did, because she had more questions, more details, because we're talking about her body, you know, and how this is going to affect her one day. And so when we begin to talk about that, I got a glass of water and I got the tampon out and I begin to talk to her and how it absorbs and all these things. And if you're a guy and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to hear about this, then close your ears for just a moment. And then I showed her how it kind of goes in the water, which basically would be like in her body, and how it absorbs, and immediately it turns in poof, like this beautiful little like cotton flower. And she's like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. Well, she thought it was so funny. She's like, let's leave it here for Daddy to see tomorrow morning and see what he thinks. And we set it there on the table because it's in the living room area where Leo does his quiet time early. He didn't even think nothing about it. He didn't even know what it was. He had set the glass in the kitchen, kind of moving it out of the way. He had no clue. So, but wait, I love that this book, on a more serious note, I love that this book creates communication. And it gives you a way to have an open dialogue with your child. You know, and since then, I know that like my son and my daughter both now feel like they can come and talk to us about some of the questions they ask me. I'm kind of not shocked, but I am kind of shocked. But I'm thankful because we opened that door a long time ago for them to talk about amazing things and things that are hard. Things that are not easy maybe to come out and just say publicly, but when you open that door, it can create a line of communication that can really help and be healthy in your home.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that, you know, this is an area that we have done our due diligence in teaching. And if anything, we have planted a seed that when the opportunities for it is there for it to be caught, that they make the right decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so it's not, we're not saying that you're not to be at the place where you're teaching your kids
right. Anything.
It's just you're planting that seed that, just like I said a few moments ago, that when they do have an opportunity to do something or act on something, that seed was already planted there for them to make the right decision.
Yeah.
You know, because some things are going to be caught more than they're taught. But it's important as parents that we do our due diligence in planting those seeds.
Yeah.
So
because it, you know what? It all starts in the home. You know, we could have many, many times, you know, like Leo was referring to earlier, students that have gone this way or that way, and I wish I would have listened. But how would it have been different for them if they had been taught more at home about those things and had more of an open dialogue?
And I'm glad you said that, because this is going to go transition very well, because I've been reading this book by Daniel Coleman, Emotional Intelligence, and I kind of referred to it the last episode, and I'm going to refer to it again this episode because it's really good and it's really fresh on my heart and something that I've been reading. But here it is in chapter 12, The Family Crucible. And one of the things that I would highly recommend this book is how to navigate emotions with your kids and also teaching them the importance, and not just your kids, but everyday relationships. But there's this one part that says, family life is our first school for emotional learning. In this intimate cauldron, we learn how to feel about ourselves and how others will react to our feelings, how to think about those feelings and what choices we have in reacting, how to read and express hopes and fears. This emotional schooling operates not just through the things a parent say and do directly to children, but also the models they offer to handling these own feelings and those that pass between husband and wife. Some parents are gifted emotional teachers, others atrocious. There are hundreds of studies showing that how parents treat their, listen to this, there are hundreds of studies showing that how parents treat children, whether with harsh discipline or empathetic understanding, with indifference or warmth, and so on, has deep and lasting consequences for the child's emotional life. Only recently, though, have there been hard data showing that having emotional, intelligent parents in itself is of enormous benefit to a child, the way a couple handles the feelings between them, in addition to direct dealings with a child, impart powerful lessons to their children, who are astute learners, attuned to the subtlest emotional exchanges in a family. When research teams led by Carol Hovind and John Gottam at the University of Washington did a microanalysis of interactions in couples on how the patterns handle their children, they found that those couples who are more emotionally competent in marriage were also the most effective in helping their children with emotional ups and downs. So what do you think about that? Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, it's how you handle things personally in front of your kids is what they're going to catch.
Yeah. They're going to learn how to respond, how they see you respond. How they see you respond to one another, or how you talk down or uplift, how you encourage, they are going to learn. And that's what we really mean by it's caught more than taught. You know, when they go out into this world and they build a family of their own, you see them out there not respecting a boss, not respecting their other coworkers. Why? Most of the time, it's because there was disrespect somewhere seen in their home that was allowed, that was okay, that was actually encouraged in some way. Maybe not necessarily verbally encouraged, but they saw it being accepted.
Yeah, and I highly recommend that book, because it even talks about in depth on how, you know, kids that are, you know, they find themselves being depressed at a very young age.
Yeah.
Being bullies, one of the main reasons why, you know, just the way that their parents are raising, you know, their parents are raising them and the way they treat them causes them to lash out, the lack of attention. I mean, there's just so many different things that play into it that I highly encourage you reading this book. Kind of gives you some insight in that.
Absolutely. And we don't want you to feel like this is a beat up a parent session. Okay. We want there to be an awakening there. Because a lot of times what you are doing right now, and I can tell you from experience, the things that come out of me is things that I've taught, things that I've allowed to attach itself to in my heart and in my life. A friend of mine uses an analogy in his book, is like it's the clay that's attached itself to me. And I have to work hard to get those pieces of clay off of me. That way the goodness that's inside of me can shine through. And so I want to challenge you today. Reflect on your responses. Reflect on how you speak and how you love and how you care for, how you respect your spouse or each other or, you know, the people in your home. Say, is there clay that I need to remove from my life that I've allowed the past or my upbringing to attach itself to me in ways that I can shine through and be the best me?
So we encourage you to rate this episode, review it, share it. Feel free to join our community on Facebook and Instagram and invite other people to come along if that's what you would like to do.
Would you like to have Parents Initiative presented in your church, your Bible study, or an event you're hosting? Be be sure to contact us through our website, social media pages. The links are found in the show notes.
And then currently, during this time that we're living in, we also are able to do Zoom.
Yes, we would love to connect with you online.
Until next week.